Let's go ahead and stand to read God's word here, just this passage here, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. It says, the word of the Lord, or the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the wheel that he made, and the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for the songs that we were able to sing and how they remind us of your greatness and your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for working in our lives. I pray that you bless our time here now. Lord, use this time again for your honor and glory and speak to us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I thought it was interesting, since I was speaking on this, that someone picked that song out about, I forgot what it's called. I wrote it down here. Making a masterpiece, molding a masterpiece there, and it talked about the potter. Let me just read those again. Master potter, why do you labor all day, giving such effort to rough, worthless pieces of clay? Why such feeling in your hands? Why such care in your touch, or every touch? Why all the struggle? Your creation is nothing but dust. And of course, the answer, I'm molding a masterpiece. And thinking about, as the Lord says to Jeremiah, that the house of Israel was his masterpiece. And he was molding and making. Now, the context is a little different, but the first vessel initially that God wants to make of us, that he's making something special, every one of us as individuals, all of our experience, all of our talents, all of our abilities, God has allowed all of those things to come to bear to this moment in your life. And even if you think, well, my life's, you know, it's on the downhill side of life itself, that doesn't mean you're going downhill, but the downhill side of life, there's still things for you to do. God has a purpose. And if you're on that uphill, God has lots of purposes and plans for you. And I thought, how many have ever worked on a potter's wheel? How many here? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's all. Wow. How many have ever, I was going to say, played with clay? How many have ever made something with clay and got it, you know, burnt in the kiln and fired up and all that kind of stuff, finished up? Okay, most of us here. When I was in high school, we had that, and I still remember, and I can't remember, I think we had both types of wheels. One where you, when you sat down, you had to kick the wheel and keep it going. And then we had another one that was automatic and a motor started and kept it going. But what was interesting, the first thing you did, you had to find the center of the wheel and just take your clay and go and had it stick. I mean, you throw it fairly hard and it would stick there. And if I'm getting this wrong, Deanna, you let me know along the way. Didn't you say you've done the wheel? Oh, I thought you said you had. So you put it there, and what happens is if you didn't have it in the middle of the wheel, it would go, and you could never do anything with it. And finally, if it got going, you know, just like that, sometimes it would go off, and you go, oh, great, now I got to start over. And so you'd put it in there. Anyway, when you got going there, you put your, you know, I mean, your fingers had to go into it. If you want any kind of pot, you had to put the hole in the pot, and so you had to dig your fingers way in, and then you had to bring the sides up. And then you kept doing that, and you can do it, and you push it down, then pull it back up. And so there's lots of things you could do, and then when you're all done, you had to take a wire, like some kind of like fishing line, and you'd cut off the bottom off the wheel, and then you'd set it off. But to make that, as the songwriter put, you know, your hands got right in there. I mean, you can't just sit back and go, okay, I'll see if this thing will fix up any, you know, it didn't do anything if you just let it sit there. You had to get in there, and that's a picture of God's involvement in your life and mine. It's very hands-on. God is not separated from us. He said, I got something planned for you, and that molding, I don't, you know, and I guess the illustration breaks up a little bit because you make it into a vessel so you can have it somewhere, but God's hands are continually molding us. And he's continually making us into something. And there are incidents he allows to come into our life because he said, I want to refine you. I want to change your viewpoint. Or I want you to think about something you've never thought about before. It's just like when someone, you know, you come up with, you know, some illness or something like that. All of a sudden you start finding out, okay, well, how does this work? Just like talking to Brother Pat this morning and his, you know, kidney problems and this all that he's going through. You know, he's learning all sorts of things about medical terminology they never even knew about before. And God sometimes, not necessarily to advance our medical, you know, information-wise, but just bringing us into situations we've never faced before, because he said, I want you to learn what it is to trust me like this. And what that does, and we forget this at times, it opens up opportunities for ministry. And if all we can see is ourselves and not see others, we're going to miss the opportunities that God is creating from being on that thing and being molded into the image that he wants us to have. So just thinking, hold your place here, Jeremiah, but jump over to Ephesians chapter 2 just a second. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 and 9 and 10. So Ephesians chapter 2, and I know you're familiar. Even before you get there, what's in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Okay, I can hear it. Someone want to stand up and quote it for us? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Mrs. Barkey, you can remain seated if you'd like and quote it for us. You want to give it a try? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Good. Now, let's notice verse number 10. So we know we're saved by grace, not of us, it's a gift of God. And then it says in the next verse, for we are his workmanship. Now, the word workmanship, it is where we get our English word poem. Okay? And what God's saying, he says, you are a creation that I've put time and energy in. You're like a masterpiece. And so he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God has a purpose and plan. So all of our young people that are here tonight, that if you're 10 or under, remember God's molding you and God's purposing in you. God's doing things in your life as well as those who are 60 and older. You know, God's got plans and purposes for you and he has something for you to do. Now, let's jump back to Jeremiah. So I want to take a whole lot of time here. So just the reality that God is working on you. He's doing something in your life. So never think you got it made. He still wants to create and do things in your life. But back in Jeremiah chapter 18, and here is the main thought that he has here, is a new start. Remember in verse 4, it said, go down to the potter's house. And so Jeremiah goes there, and he sees the guy making it in a vessel. And it says in verse 4, the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I remember a few times doing that pottery on the wheel. And as you go up and say you want to make a vase instead of a vase, you know, you want to make a vase. So you're gonna make this beautiful thing that came up and just went up like this, and then it had this. And so as you're going up and the sides get really thin on the clay, all of a sudden the side of it'll go floop, and then it starts going floop, 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 and then it falls over and it doesn't work. So you have to be really careful with that. And so he was in the hand of the potter that it was marred. And so what'd he do? So he made it. So that's what you do. You slow down the wheel and you fold it all back in. You make it sort of a clump and then you start it back up. And you just, I mean, it's the same clump. It's the same clay. Nothing's different about it. You're just sort of starting over and you get going again. And that's what he's saying here. He says, Israel, don't you understand? There's a marred there, but he's going to make it again and he's going to revise it. And so in verse 6, he says, you know, you're like the clay in the potter's hand. That's how you are in my hand. And I want you to see here just the thought about there's always hope. Maybe you make a turn that's the wrong direction. Maybe you do something and God's got to chasten you. Or you just make a choice that really causes devastation in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe it's just a small thing. It's not anything major, but it's just hindering you. God says, you know what? I want you to have hope. Because I can fix it. I can make it new. I can revise it. And that's a good thing. And so God is not only a God saying, hey, I'm creating something in you. And all of a sudden, it's something messed up or something's not quite what it should be. Stop a moment. It doesn't matter if you're 4 or 40 or 80. God says, I can still change you, but you got to be willing to be changed. Because that was one thing I remember in our pottery class, that when you had clay, you could, and if it got dried out, you couldn't do anything with it. It would break. And so they would often, I still remember that, I don't remember what all of, I just remember taking the dry clay and it was put over in a certain area and it was put water on it and had, it didn't really have a seal, but it was sealed, but it was in a certain area where we kept it in the room. And so after a while, and I don't remember how long it took, but after a while, you could use that clay again. But when it's hard, when it just becomes unmoldable and you can't create what you want. So I think there's a sense here, and he's saying to Israel, in fact, the whole context here, he said, boy, you guys have hardened your heart. I'm dealing with you, but I want you to know I can make you fresh. I can make you new, but you got to be willing to be moldable. And that's really a key. You know, I think it is true. Think about the setting with the demoniac who was healed. When he was healed, that they asked him to, you know, he said, well, don't cast us back into the abyss, this is just a personal theology thing. I believe that the abyss is for those demons who possessed human beings, but that's a whole nother story. But then they said, throw us into the pigs. And so remember, Jesus did. And remember when the townspeople eventually came out, remember he was clothed, which is normal for someone who's sanctified in their mind. They're clothed, and he was in his right mind, and he was calm, and all those things. And remember what the people said? Remember what the people said to Jesus? Someone tell me, what in general? You don't have to quote it exactly. What did the people want? Yeah, go away. We don't want you here, Jesus. We don't want you close. I forgot why I was going to share with you something else on that. I know what it was. And you know what? It's interesting. It says, you know, this big change is taking place here. You know, we sort of like it when the guy was here and he was crying in the caves and he was crazy and out of his mind. No one could come up this way because he'd attack people and all. This is strange. This is different. We're not used to someone with this godly power to rearrange our situation. You know, I think we like the devils better. That's an amazing statement. I think sometimes, though we don't necessarily like how our life and how we respond to things, and yet we're used to it. And sometimes we like what we're used to instead of something new. And so let's just remember, sometimes when things are not quite what they should be, stop a moment and say, God, I'm willing to be changed. I'm willing to face what's unfamiliar with me because I've gotten used to how I am. But I want to be more like Jesus. So please mold me. Please fix me if necessary. And so just a thought there about being submitted to the Lord, allowing him to mold us and improve us for his honor and glory. And then just a last little thought, and I wasn't even going to talk about this, but as we were singing that song, I thought it was interesting. The song, Brother Chris isn't in here right now. I think he's out in the foyer, but The song seems to be about parents or someone mentoring someone else. There seems to be an aspect of that. And I never thought about this, but let's just, as we were talking about this morning, when we're ever in a place of leadership, that God's going to hold us accountable for the influence we have on those whom we lead. And I thought, you know what? There are times where we're ministering to someone and someone, that vessel has been marred. And maybe sometimes as ministering to others, as that songwriter put it, that we need to have the patience that God had with us and get in there, and just like God would get into the clay. And by the way, when you get into the clay, your hands are just yuck. I mean, if you can't eat lunch after you've done clay. You got to do something. You got to get cleaned up. And sometimes helping others is sort of like that. You go, oh, I'm not used to this. But God, as he molds us, he said, I want you to help mold others. And that's a step in maturity. It's a step in our growth. But let's be willing to sometimes get our hands in there and get them dirty, per se, in trying to help, by God's grace, to mold others into the likeness of Christ. So I hope that might be an encouragement to you. Remember, so just keep that idea of a potter. God's making a masterpiece. God can correct any flaws that may be in there that he wants to perfect, or any, you know, sins that need to be confessed. And then there's an aspect of mentoring others and try to be willing to be a blessing to others along the way to help them be more like Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this afternoon, and thank you for just this illustration that you gave to us through the prophet Jeremiah. And Father, we thank you that you are a God filled with hope. And in a sense, though we didn't talk about the God of second and third and fourth chances, Lord, help us never to take those for granted, but to count them as your ministry of grace to us. Father, I pray for each one of us that we'd recognize you are molding us into a useful vessel, and even all the things that have come in our lives and will come into our lives, that somehow you would use that to make us better vessels for you. Lord, I pray that for any here that may be discouraged with something in their life and have maybe sought to change it and haven't seen, but Lord, I pray that you would demonstrate yourself powerfully, and may this illustration give us hope that you can transform us if we'll just submit to you and allow you to mold us. And then, Lord, help us to remember that you want us to use us to help mold the lives of others. Lord, that we're not just here to be an example and to be on a trophy case, Lord, but to get in there and to help others to be more like you. So, Lord, may we say with the apostle, follow me as I follow Christ. And may that be our slogan, our desire, our longing.